Alright, we're out of here at the crack of dawn. Nothing's biting. My zombie takeout. What's up? Welcome to episode 82 of Zombie Takeout.
Heard of Traveling Retards.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And there's no listener submitted this week or news, so we're just going to jump right into the movie, yeah, which...
There wasn't even really a movie this week, was there?
Well, we'll get into that. You see, we should explain, or I should explain, but I teased this last week. I had to make a little bit of a deal. I wanted to review Spice World for a couple of reasons. I think if it isn't already, it's going to be a cult film. And actually, I think it's pretty funny. Now, in order to get Scott to agree with this, he decided to play a little chicken. And said, okay, if we're going to do that, we have to do Glitter. Which I think we would have eventually gotten around to just because it's so notoriously bad.
And, oh, it's going to look like Chaucer compared to this shit that we did this week.
I don't know about that.
I think it will.
And this week's movie from 2002, Crossroads. And like I said last week, not the good Crossroads with Ralph Macchio, but the one with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And that brings us to this week's impromptu plot summary, brought to you by Karaoke. A source of public embarrassment since 1971. Thanks, Japan.
Yeah, and sponsored by writers and actors. When you make a film, for fuck's sake, hire writers and actors.
I never get tired of that callback.
Yeah, me either. Very appropriate for this one, too. Mm-hmm. So, what we have here, we have some young ladies who are graduating high school. They put together, actually, it starts with them putting a little time capsule together for them to open, get ready for this, 8 years later. Which, I mean, think about that. We're going to open this up in the future, man, 8 years from now.
Well, when you're 10, that's a long time.
Right after graduation, man, we're going to come back and open this. It's going to be a completely different planet. Time capsules generally are for people, they're for the future generations to open.
Official time capsules, you know, the big sponsored ones, yes. But I'm sure there are plenty of kids who've buried things in, you know, 8 years when you're 10, like I said, it's a long time. So that part I was fine with. But continue.
Hence the Sisterhood of the Traveling Retards title I wanted. But anyway, so they turn into the Breakfast Club, where you have the Brain, mm-hmm. who inappropriately played by Britney Spears.
Yeah.
You have the Princess, not too badly played by Uhura from the...
That's why she looked familiar. Star Trek. Okay.
From the Star Trek reboot. And then you have the trailer trash for that played by some other chick who I don't know where she's from exactly. I couldn't really be bothered to do much research on this.
Pretty much the only research, I have some trivia, but the most of my research was finding out the year karaoke was invented.
You know, I did look up their IMDb's and I still can't remember what she was in. It was just not memorable.
I've seen her in one or two things. I do not recall what they are.
Right. So they've grown apart, but they do manage to come back together on graduation night and dig up the time capsule. And then they go from hating each other to, yeah, we'll take a cross-country road trip together.
Yeah. In the matter of one conversation, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Oh, those are such great times we had. You know what? Let's go on that cross-country road trip together. One wants to audition in L.A., one wants to see her boyfriend who happens to be near L.A., mm-hmm. and the other one wants to see her mama in Tucson, so they'll stop off on the long way there. And I guess that's really the movie, pretty much.
And there's a guy who's doing the driving who comes along with them.
There's a guy who probably, he could have fit very well into that Easter Bunny Kill Kill movie with his acting ability. I'm a guy.
Well, I don't know if that's acting or the writing. We'll get to that. I have some very interesting trivia.
And I can't stand being around all these girls because I'm a guy. Mm-hmm. And the car is the one thing I can control.
Yeah. Pretty much hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues for the entire thing and not for the good reason.
Yeah. I'm going to start off my review by paraphrasing Dr. Scott.
Okay.
I knew we were in for a bad movie, but it was worse than I imagined.
I agree entirely. I was keeping an open mind. I was like, maybe this will surprise me and it'll get like, I can go give it a couple brains or something. But whoo.
Well, the thing is, you knew we were in trouble from the outset because the kids were overacting. The kids that got to play the younger versions of the three, they were overacting. You hire kids because they don't over... Well, one of the reasons, aside from younger characters, the thing about kid actors, they don't overact. They're very natural.
Well, I don't know about that.
Generally. In good movies. The kids were overacting. At that point, I knew, okay, we're in trouble.
Well...
But the remarkable thing about this movie...
And yet they gave Jake Lloyd such shit, and this was going on.
Well, yeah, good point. The thing that really struck me... The movie has absolutely no subtext. Everything is stated.
Yes. It.
Literally everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's... I'm not sure who they were aiming it for, really. I mean... Oh.
Well, that's...
Can't...
That's the big problem. Because this is what I've like to call institutional cooking. For those of you who don't know, institutional cooking is the kind they do for, cafeterias and whatnot. And it's basically appeal to as many people as possible.
Without appealing to anyone.
Pretty much. And that's what they tried to do this one. They tried to have... I'm surprised there wasn't a car chase at some point just to try to pull in some guys. Because they were literally trying to appeal to as many people as possible.
Now that you mention it, I don't think I've ever missed a car chase in a movie as much as I have this one. Car chases usually get boring after a while. Let's face it.
Yeah.
We've seen it all. There's nothing new you can really add to a car chase.
But it would have really spiced up this one.
But goddamn, this movie needed a car chase.
But there was one punch thrown. That was pretty much the action. But, I'm just surprised they didn't try to pull in some guys with that. But I guess they knew that was a losing battle.
It was. I mean, you had the whole... Britney Spears being a cock tease thing,
mm-hmm.
which
I gotta admit there were a couple of scenes I enjoyed for less than pure reasons early in the film. There's the slogan. One of my favorite bands, Darling Violetta, has a slogan that I think applies to most of my tastes in creative works and really applies to this one. Not for everyone, because what's for everyone sucks. This one was made for everyone, and as a result.
Now, I think they're probably shooting for the teenage girls here.
Of course, it's Britney Spears. That's her demographic.
Yeah, but the terrible message that they pretty much inadvertently send to teenage girls in this, it's mind blowing in itself.
Yeah.
Think about what they were trying to go for here. Don't be shallow. Don't be, see your friends for who they are. Mm-hmm. Just stick with them and stuff. But really, if you look at it, it was all shallow.
Oh, yeah.
And the epitome of it for me was that oh-so-realistic karaoke scene.
Yeah, I just hope Joan Jett got paid well.
Well, you hope all of them got paid well.
Well, yeah.
I'm talking about the real actors like Aykroyd and
I was starting with her just because you mentioned the karaoke scene. Spears sings I love rock and roll. I hope it was worth it for Joan to sell out like that. And I certainly hope it was. Well, I'll get into Ackroyd later.
Why that scene is the epitome of it all for me. Think about the, you know, they put the pregnant trailer trash girl up to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And because she looks the way she does, the crowd just hates them.
Right.
Booing.
Mm-hmm.
Britney Spears takes the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, she looks good. Yay!
Pretty much.
We love this now that they put the frumpier one as a background singer. And actually, the least realistic part of the New Orleans scene, using the phrase underage in New Orleans.
Okay, I was not aware that was
I think
abnormal.
I was getting served and I was like 15
down. Oh, okay.
I mean there is a drinking age down there.
Of course.
But I doubt it's enforced.
You have yet to find some place that cares about it. Okay. The fact that they were going for that demographic is also explains why it occasionally turns into a random after-school special.
I don't even know.
Just these moments where you almost expect the More You Know logo to pop up.
But the other thing, of course, the going all the way part. Why was it a big deal for her to go and have sex with her boyfriend
in
the beginning?
Right.
And then she meets this dude and fucks him like 2 days after knowing him.
Yeah, because he was better looking.
Yes.
And he was in a band.
Of course. He was a guitar player and he had a classic car, man.
I've been playing guitar for 26 years. It hasn't worked for me.
I mean, don't you know that? So they, but on the surface, so that is the subtext of the movie, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
The text of the movie is to do all the right things,
mm-hmm.
true, and stick with your friends, and regardless of what people look like, it doesn't matter. But the subtext was really, be a shallow motherfucker.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sell that baby on the black market, throw her down the stairs, do what you want. Your mother walks out on your father, maybe it's a good idea for his daughter to walk out on him, too.
Oh, yeah, I didn't connect that, but yeah.
To leave in the middle of the night and a note. Wow, that couldn't possibly hurt anybody, could it?
Although, and I, well, even though I saw it a mile away, I did get a slight chuckle the second time she hung up on him.
What's that?
When she's calling the second time and when she decides she wants to go home. And he, you know, the phone is ringing, and then the pregnant girl talks her out of it, and he picks up the phone, and then she hangs up on him. I did get a slight chuckle out of that.
Hmm.
It's a little mile away, but it still got a little bit of a laugh.
I didn't even know if they were playing for a laugh there, though.
Well, I laughed.
I don't know. I don't know what any of that was. Oh, she wants to go home. She doesn't want to go home. And just going from the, we're broke, we made some money on this karaoke thing, to we can now afford a nice hotel.
Yeah, there was no talk of money. They made enough to get the car fixed, but there was never any talk of any more money.
What exactly did they do in this New Orleans bar?
And when they got to LA, yeah, spoiler, they get there. he's able to pull a band together in 2 days for this song that he just wrote. For a showcase, unless he knows, you know, professional session players, that's not going to happen, and he's going to have to pay professional session players.
Union.
Well, yeah, union guys, and who aren't going to need to get paid, and you know, random guys you happen to know aren't going to be able to do that. Now, on to Dan Aykroyd. I set him apart specifically because Aykroyd's kind of been a hero of mine.
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest straight men of all time.
He has not had a good millennium so far.
No. But to see one of my heroes, you know, my comic heroes as a straight man, and I mean that in the comedic sense. Of course, I'm a straight man in the other sense too, but I'm referring to the comedic sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's a genius. He's one of my heroes. And to see him do this, it hurt.
I think the last thing I've enjoyed seeing him in was probably Gross Point Blank.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, Evolution, I think, was the last one for me. He was great in that, which you have yet to see. We'll be getting to that one.
Yeah.
But and he's kind of... Has he really ever sold out? I don't think he's really ever sold out, really. I mean, he's done some questionable movies.
I think over the last, you know, decade or so he has. He's been... Okay. I think he's been broke. I think something happened financially. He, lately, the last few years, I know, he's been doing a tour, like, selling some sort of vodka.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know that. He's actually really into that. That's not a sellout thing.
Ah, come on. You know, go meet Dan Aykroyd at the liquor store.
Oh, well, okay, maybe he's... Well, I know the production of it in the whole... The production of it, putting his name on it, was not a sellout move.
Seriously, that's what he's been doing. He's been going to liquor stores.
Oh, I didn't know about the liquor store appearance.
Yeah. I could have met him if I'd wanted to, if I could have gone to this one liquor store. I remember there were signs about it. I think there was something going on.
Okay, yeah, maybe he does have money problems, in which case, okay, maybe we can forgive him for this.
I think the start of it was the House of Blues.
That was the money problems, you mean?
I don't know if it's the start of the money problems.
Too much into it?
Or the start of him trying to make a buck, you know, trying to combat those money problems by getting into other ventures.
Ah. Well, that's been very successful.
I don't know. I guess I kind of felt the same way I did when I saw the Blues Brothers 2000 movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was definitely selling out. I forgot that one.
That was probably the beginning of the really embarrassing period.
Yeah, the mighty have fallen, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was around the same time as Gross Point Blank, too, but I mean...
I want to say so, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, there were a few things that I kind of liked about the movie. Getting back on track here.
Okay.
Spears was actually a better actress than I was expecting. Not saying she was good, but she was better than I was expecting.
Wow, you were expecting some real shit, weren't you?
There were believable moments.
Oof.
Kim Cattrall was better than usual.
You could see the check in that back pocket there.
But she wasn't as bad as usual.
She was really good casting for this, actually, because she does resemble Spears quite a bit.
True.
And the only thing I could think of was, God damn, she can't pick a good film to save her life.
Oh, yeah. She picks... Well, I think the Sex and the City series shows that she goes for lucrative more than good.
Right. Right. I mean, aside from
Split Second
and Star Trek, of course.
Yeah, and Porky's.
Yeah, and Porky's. Wow, what a run of bad movies.
Yeah. And the last thing I liked is I liked that they kept the ending open. They didn't resolve everything and tie it up into a nice little bow.
I don't know. I kind of thought it was.
But, you know, they made it that way, and then it was, well, they didn't tell you what happened next. She didn't get the contract. She didn't, you know, she ended up with the guy, but that's about as resolved as anything got.
Oh, my God. Don't spoil it for them.
This was possibly the most predictable movie I've ever seen. Largely due to the lack of subtext.
I do have to say, the one thing I liked about this movie is it gave me a lot of time to play city villain stuff the meantime.
Yeah, I think I played more solitaire than usual.
You really didn't have to keep a close eye on this movie to see what was going to happen or anything. You pretty much knew it.
Yeah.
What was going to happen before it happened.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much from the opening setup of, okay, they're taking a road trip.
Right.
But this random guy.
Mm-hmm. And it was a very fast road trip, too. Mm.
And that's, I think... Well, one of the many failings of this movie is it could have been a good movie in a few different kinds of ways, but they never took it there. You know, if it was just them sitting around talking all night after burying the digging up the box, that could have been an interesting movie. They would have had to really act for that, but it could have been interesting. And, you know, it could have been the rising falling star movie if they had sped things up a bit. It could have been a great road trip movie.
It could have been. It could have just been like an odyssey across America and they really, you know.
Or it could have been Can't Hardly Wait, you know, teen graduating comedy thing.
Yeah.
They kind of decide to combine all of these factors and except for the rising star thing because they didn't tie that up. But they combined a lot of those and it just fell short in all of them.
Were there like three stops between...
Pretty much, yeah.
Atlanta
there were three hotel stays, yeah.
Right.
with increasingly better hotels, of course.
Yeah. But really, they had New Orleans. They went from Atlanta to New Orleans, which, I mean, that's doable. Mm-hmm. And then they were, next thing you know, they broke down.
Yeah.
No, they broke down near New Orleans.
Right.
Which, how they got to New Orleans from where they were, I don't know. They were, like, in the middle of nowhere, and then they're in New Orleans. Because
mm-hmm.
That's all that Louisiana is. It's
of course.
Just New Orleans.
Now, bit of trivia here. When Lucy's dad is talking to Lucy in the hospital, a picture of Britney Spears can be seen on a copy of USA that a man is reading in the waiting room. I think this tells us a lot about the quality of the filmmaking.
The attention to detail.
Exactly. Your lead actress is featured on this magazine as herself in a shot. Okay, it's not some random thing on a location shot that you can't control. It's an extra holding a magazine. You can make sure that that doesn't give anything away.
Who says it was an accident?
Oh, God, I hope it was.
This was pretty much, a vanity piece more than anything else. Wasn't it?
Good point. Also, no Coca-Cola products are used in the movie. Instead, Pepsi products are featured heavily. I didn't notice, but she has the deal with Pepsi, or at least had it at the time.
So,
now, we talked about Aykroyd, doing this for the money because of possible financial problems. I don't know about that, because apparently Aykroyd created a detailed backstory for his character and his life in the Navy. He even had a friend draw a Navy tattoo on his arm, which can be seen in the scene where he's working in the shop. He went very method on this.
Which is strange, but
Just for the paycheck, you wouldn't think he'd bother. He certainly didn't need it for the character.
I guess he's trying to be an actor.
Yeah.
He's been trying to be an actor for some time.
True.
I'm trying to remember the 90s movie where he was like the Southern gentleman or whatever. And
I don't remember the name, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
I was thinking about that. I wasn't sure. He has attempted drama before then.
Yeah.
Okay. Just not successfully.
Like tried to follow Tom Hanks kind of
Bill Murray.
Crossover thing.
Yeah. Although Bill Murray's been a little less successful, but yeah, same sort of thing.
Although Murray,
Murray's certainly better at it, but...
Yeah. He did a more gradual thing. I mean, he did stuff early on, but lately, he's had some great independent movies.
Yeah.
From but Lost he, Translation to Life he, Aquatic.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. He has done some more dramatic stuff lately.
Yeah.
I thought he'd move back into comedy exclusively, but no, okay.
When is the last Bill Murray comedy, now that you mention it?
Well, he's in... Well, slight spoiler, he is in Zombieland.
Oh, okay.
Awesome movie, highly recommended. Now I mentioned I had some trivia about Anson Mount, who played Ben. And actually, this is a nice segue, because we were talking about method acting.
Yeah.
Anson Mount was originally reluctant to play Ben.
Wonder why.
But was encouraged by Robert De Niro, with whom he was working at the time on City by the Sea. And who turned out to be a huge Britney Spears fan. They went over scenes on break from C with Mount reading his role and De Niro reading Britney's.
Could you? Oh my God! What I would not do to hear that.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
In fact, I was just thinking, wouldn't it be funny to have Robert De Niro in this movie? But
wow,
not as great as Robert De Niro reading Britney Spears' lines.
No. But just crock that for a moment. De Niro is a huge Britney Spears fan.
Actually, I take that back. I think it would be really sad to have seen De Niro in this movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
More so than Aykroyd, even. Because, we've seen Aykroyd do shit before.
Yeah, that's true.
And we've seen De Niro and shit, but not shit this bad.
No. For me, it's a toss-up because I'm a bigger fan of Dan Aykroyd than De Niro. I've never been a huge De Niro fan, to be honest.
Really?
So
an actor, though?
Same old criticism. He kind of plays the same guy every time. But that's all.
I don't think you've seen enough De Niro movies.
So I'll be honest. And I do like him in the comedic stuff because he's not De Niro. So maybe I just need to broaden my field.
Yeah.
Deer
Hunter, King of Comedy.
Well, Deer Hunter, I do.
Taxi Driver.
King of Comedy, you're right about. I forgot that one. We should
Taxi Driver. I mean, those are all three really good guys.
I should see Taxi Driver. It is a classic. And we should
Godfather 2, of course. He just became Brando. Mm.
We need to review King of Comedy one of these days.
You think so? I thought that was too big for us.
It's kind of cult, actually.
Yeah.
I would say so. Anyway.
I'm all up for Scorsese if you're up for Scorsese. Were we supposed to be reviewing some other movie, though, now? I forget.
Yeah, we are. And I'm pretty much done with my notes and my trivia.
I think I hit everything that I wanted to hit.
Sequels and remakes, why bother?
In fact, I think if they ever try, I think most of the people in this cast should have some sort of restraining order not to be allowed within 50 yards of a film being made.
Yeah. Except maybe Anson Mount. I'll give him, he was in a De Niro movie. I have to see more.
He was terrible.
In this yes, but
he could be the worst actor of the lot in this, really.
But he worked with De Niro, so maybe he has some chops. He was bothering in this.
I mean,
and of course, we can't say, it shouldn't be allowed in your movie again. But
I don't know. I'm trying to remember the last. It's been.
Actually, okay, I'm going to take that statement and refine it a bit. The director, writers, certainly. No, they're done. They should never be allowed to work again.
The director, interesting that you'd bring up the director. She seems like she's made some good movies
before. Oh, okay.
She made CB4.
Okay.
Mostly did video work, though.
Uh-huh.
But so she has ability, but there was really no script.
No.
It really, the writer has very few credits on her.
She's the culprit. Okay.
She's just horrendous. That's what really, nothing could have saved this movie, and probably if there were good actors.
Well, that's my point, because that's why I'm saying Anson Mount may have potential, because what did he have to work with? And the one who played Uhura was great in Star Trek.
Yeah.
So she does have some chops. What did she have to work with?
It is the writer. You're right. We'll play it all at the writer's. Yeah. Because this is really, could be one of the worst scripts we've seen in this show.
I believe
and that's
so.
Saying a lot. That's quite a statement.
Yeah. Well, like I said, what movie, what work of fiction has zero subtext? Can you think of another?
No, I can't.
That's a big problem when all of the intentions, all of the goals are explicitly stated.
Think of the really bad movies we've done. And I mean, here's three that I'll just throw right out.
Okay.
You got They Call Me Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
We got Postal.
Mm-hmm.
We got Easter Bunny Kill Kill.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those scripts have more redeeming quality.
Yeah, I'm gonna say yeah. Wow.
And that's quite a statement, because we've seen some really bad films here.
Mm-hmm.
You could say Waterworld. I mean,
Waterworld, Shakespeare compared to this thing.
Exactly. The list could go on and on of the horrendous films we've seen, and yet this is the worst script by far.
And on to brains, because I think you may have actually talked me down.
No.
Okay, you've got more?
I have an idea for a remake of this.
Oh, God.
Fucking hilarious. The copy of this that I watched, the audio dub was off a bit.
Out of sync.
It was out of sync. So when it began with her lip syncing to Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
The lip syncing was entirely off, and I said, "Wow, has she made a video before?" Before I figured out that it was, it was just my audio that was off. What if we took the audio track to this movie and used the Peanuts characters? Do it to have it. I mean, think about it.
Yes.
Sally's the brain. You got Peppermint Patty's the trailer trash mm-hmm. girl. Lucy's the princess. Linus, of course, is the band, guitar player,
right?
Guy driving them. Or Schroeder. I'm sorry.
Schroeder would fit.
No,
yeah.
Linus, because Sally and Linus.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And Austin said, "Rip Peanuts." That could be brilliant. Of course,
Schroeder was the college, kid that screwing around with the other girl.
Uh huh. And of course, Snoopy as the father.
Charlie Brown is the father.
Okay. Yeah, because Snoopy doesn't talk. That's right.
Well, since he, or the older brother or whatever.
Yeah.
He's the, he's Sally's older brother.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. That works perfectly then.
So I think that's it.
Definitely.
The Peanuts have to do this movie. But take the audio track. Just take the audio track as is.
Of course.
I don't know who Snoopy would play in this now that you mention it. You know what? I'd say, here's just an idea I'm going to go out here with. You intercut scenes of him as the World War I flying ace in between shit going on here. I think I'm onto yes. something, goddammit.
Yeah.
There you go. That's yeah,
if only we could afford the rights to the Peanuts and the audio
you
track.
Heard, like, what's up, Tiger Lily?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Come on, call us Charles Schultz. Oh, he's dead. That's right. call us Estate of Charles Schultz. All right, brains?
Like I said, you talked me down.
How high were you going with this originally?
I was originally going to say, because there were things, like I said, a few things I actually did like. Or at least were better than I was expecting. So I was going to go 1.5, but the minute you mentioned it was, the script was better than They Call Me Bruce. And you're right about that.
The script of They Call Me Bruce had more redeeming qualities than this one. And that was a pretty bad script.
I'm going to give my first 0.
I had low expectations coming into this.
We knew we were in for a bad movie, but it was worse than we could possibly imagine.
Low expectations. So right, this is our first
double zero
goose egg.
Wow. And apparently glitter is worse.
We sat through hours of Heaven's Gate.
I kind of liked Heaven's Gate once I got to the pacing, but
and could find more better things to say about that than the 1.5 hours that was this.
Can we go negative next week if necessary?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
We'll see. Okay, what have we learned?
I wish I had some money so I could hire Dan Aykroyd to do something for us here.
And along very similar lines, I learned that everyone has a price. So, until next week when, well, it'll get worse before it gets better.
This is like, that is if we're still around, because this is kind of like the scene from Airplane where he's telling everybody his life story. Each movie is an attempt to tell his life story, and you just see the person killing themselves in some way.
We're reviewing the infamous Glitter. Yes, the Mariah Carey movie.
For fuck's sake, give us some feedback, because we're really suffering here.
The only thing keeping me holding on is I know I will be vindicated in 2 weeks.
You know, I mean, when we're doing other movies and we're having a good time with this, you know, we don't mind that you're not giving us much feedback or anything. Yeah, we're having fun, but we are suffering for our art here.
Yes, we are. Please make it worth our time.
I think...
And we're not asking for money. We're not asking for, you know, anything physical. You know, it's we just want some feedback. We want to know that you're there.
I mean, this movie was so bad, I think it'd be preferable to douse your body with gasoline and doing the whole Buddhist monk lighting yourself on fire. Could you imagine that that's what the Buddhist monks did as a protest? They sat down and watched Crossroads and people were just reacting in horror. Oh no, how could you do that to yourselves?
Wow. Anyway, until next week when we will be reviewing Glitter.
Let's tell them how they can give us this feedback.
Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the... I'll mark the episode description, the episode itself. You can find links to our Facebook and Twitter accounts on which you can give us said feedback. You can also find a link to subscribe to us via RSS or iTunes. You could also give us some feedback by rating us and reviewing us on iTunes. We'd greatly appreciate that.
Or you could give us a call.
Yes, and the number is 414-368-ZTO1, or for the Alphanumerical Challenge, 414-368-9861.
You can also, boys and girls, no matter where you're calling from, you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Or you can email us at zombietakeout@gmail.com. Please Let us know you're listening. Let us know there's a reason we do this.
We just did that.
We may have to reconsider the title.
And the Spice World better be fucking brilliant, man.
Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
But I'm a guy, okay? I'm a guy. Just a guy.
I couldn't believe that this was only 90 minutes. Yeah, I kept going, looking at the time, what? There's still a half hour? Jesus.